Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, audience. We bring on the host for the show, Reginald Clemens. Reginald, I was waiting for you to start your show.
Hello, Fiona. How are you doing? Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I thank everyone for tuning in and listening and continuing to listen. I thank you for how much support that you put forth for the show and staying informed about criminal justice reform so that we can work towards a more balanced society, a more humane society, where we treat one another with the necessary dignity and respect for each and every individual to enjoy the prosperity of their own lives, and so that we can grow closer to our true selves. I believe that the goal of rehabilitation and should be the goal of rehabilitation in prison. It's been a long, hard road, and it continues to be a long, hard road.
And may be monitored and recorded.
And I've been talking to Leona off air here and there, because there's been some major complications in the past 2 weeks. They're restructuring and shifting things around with the Reentry 2030 program. I, for one, have not been invited to continue to be a part of the Reentry 2030 program. And it's just completely unfair to me, in my mind, and that's what brought me to come kind of understanding about criminal justice reform, where it comes down to its rehabilitation versus rehabilitation. And because I'm being left out or removed from participating in a program based on somebody else getting dirty urine and another facilitator getting caught with some drugs.
I should have opened the show for you. One of the things that Reginald Clemens is going to be discussing is the injustices that go on in the penal system. It's a shame because I'm sure that many of you have heard in the past, or you have relatives that may be incarcerated, or you may be an advocate yourself, but when someone on a block or in a prison does something wrong, they make everyone on that block suffer. And this has got to be, this is something that we have to start looking at around the country to address. When people in prison do something wrong, it should not be a situation where everyone has to suffer. And this is what Reginald Clemens is going to be talking about, because there was an incident at his facility where he is, where someone messed up and they all had to pay the price. So Reginald, I'm going to let you finish what you were saying, but I just wanted the audience to have an idea of what you're trying to say, what you will be talking about. The injustices that go on, and this is what Shedding Light is all about, to bring awareness, to expose the injustices that go on in the penal system. And it's getting kind of tiring when so much negative things are happening in the prisons. People are being abused. People are being deprived. People are being neglected. People are dying, committing suicide. We have to look at these things because people incarcerated are getting fed up. They don't know which way to turn. So when you hear of riots going on in the prisons, or if you hear of hunger strikes, it's because they're reaching out for help. Please, people, contact the media and let the media start going in and start talking to these incarcerated individuals, or you and I and so many others are going to be held accountable someday when we go before our maker. We need to start looking at these people as human beings. Now, Reginald, please finish what you were saying. I'm sorry, but I have to let the audience know exactly what's going on, which by now they should. Everybody should know what's going on behind those prison walls. And people are just ignoring it, like all of these things going on around the world. People are being, they're being executed. children and babies, and everybody's just turning a blind eye. Well, we have the same problem in the prisons. We have people in the prisons like Reginald Clemens and others who are wrongfully convicted. We have people in the prisons who are in their youth, they're teenagers. Many of you probably heard about the 14-year-old in Pennsylvania, now 17. That he looks like he's 6 years old. What is wrong with our country? What is wrong with the people in this country to do absolutely nothing? Please continue, Reginald. I'm sorry to interrupt your show, but I have to say this.
Thank you, Leon. It's extremely exhausting sometimes when you continue to fight and continue to inform people and continue to try and point out how the criminal justice system needs to reform itself and needs to embrace reform for the betterment of society, the betterment of the human condition, to try and rebuild families and break the cycle of domestic violence and child abuse. Because just like you have generational wealth, you have generational abuse. And here in prison and with reform schools and foster care in different places, that's an opportunity to turn society around as a whole. Because these children grow up to be adults.
This call is in a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
These are the abused, neglected, and abandoned children end up coming to prison eventually after a long history of drug use and alcohol abuse and lead them to prison. I've been locked up for 32 years, and I've talked to a lot of men and young men and boys in prison, and I've come to understand a lot of the things that bring people to prison, from listening to people's stories and read different cases and that different things and help, trying to help people on their case. I want to be calling back in about 30 seconds. But I do want you to, I want to pause with this for a moment. It's rehabilitation versus dehabilitation, because I'm being rehabilitated. I'm being crippled and hindered from sincerely doing the work that I want to do. And what I was explaining earlier, I don't have any drug history on dirty urines. I don't have drug possessions in my prison history for 32 years. There is drugs and alcohol involved where I was drunk at the time that the crime took place in my case, right? And at the time that I was involved with something that
Thank
I should have never
think?
Been nowhere near.
Goodbye.
Reginald will be calling back in, audience. One of the things is, again, and a lot of people say I get so frustrated at times because I'm sorry, but I don't care if I have a loved one died or not, if it's somebody else's child, if it's just another stranger in the street, I don't care. If what it is, I don't care what the situation is. We need to look at these people that are hurting so much. We need to look at these people. Our money's going over to other countries when our country's falling apart. Our people are not having the media go in to talk to them, yet the media will go clear across the pond, will go to the other side of the world to get news. We wonder why people in prison are attacking and having riots. They can't take it anymore. They're trying to tell people what's going on with them. They're being abused by even the staff. People working for the prison system are also human beings, just like anyone else. They're capable of crying as well. But when incarcerated individuals mess up, not everyone should be suffering the consequences. Penalize the ones that are messing up. Penalize the ones that are messing up, not all of them. It's not right. So we're going to have Reginald Clemens come back on and talk about the situation. And I hope that everyone will listen carefully. Please. Now, here he is.
Conversation now.
Okay, Reginald, you're back on.
Yeah, I want to pick back up where I left off with rehabilitation versus dehabilitation, because I'm being dehabilitated. I'm being crippled and hindered from helping other people based on my experience. There's a lot of hardened criminals that I'm able to reach because I ended up on death row for being around when a murder took place that I did not engage in. I tried to prevent the murder, but that wasn't enough. I ended up being sentenced to death anyway. And the long and short of it is I thank people. I was blessed by God to be able to get off of death row. I was blessed by God to have the opportunity to help others. And that gives me some leverage with people who are hard criminals and who are drug addicts to bring them to realize by the virtue of the fact that you're talking to me is a miracle for one. By virtue of the fact that you're talking to me, you're at rock bottom. How much lower do you think your life can get than being locked up with somebody that is fighting, that has fought their way off of that road? How much lower can your life get? Look where you're at and who you're talking to right now. That gives me an opportunity to deliver powerful messages that can create that spark to reach a person for a moment, to open their eyes, to open their ears, their heart, to a message of humanity and growth. But unfortunately, I can't do that anymore because there are people within the system of criminal justice, right, within the criminal justice system who believe in mass punishment, who believe in prisoners suffering for the crimes that they've committed and suffering like their victims suffer, and believe that the victims want prisoners to be tortured and to suffer inhumane conditions and inhumane treatment and dehumanization. You can't bring a person back to humanity and make a person be more human and more family-oriented and prepared for release back into society. 85% of people that are incarcerated are going to be released back into society. So these conditions of incarceration are absolutely critical to making society safe and keeping society safe. That is the primary purpose and goal of the construct of prison. It's supposed to be. But there are people that adhere strictly to some of the crime and punishment principles. But when we operate on principle, we lose morality and virtue. Because principle is so rigid that no matter what the circumstances, if this happened, this is going to be done. And that is inconsistent with the fluidity and balance of life. In this program, I, for one, have done a lot when it comes to anger management, doing one-on-one individual drug counseling, and I had a class going called Interview and Negotiation Skills, where teach a person how to present themselves and put their best foot forward, how to shake hands. There's a lot of young men that do not know how to tie neckties, but would love to. I say it's amazing to me how much these young men perk up when the idea of learning how to tie a necktie is presented to them, an opportunity to learn something that missing father, that absentee father, that drug addicted, that alcoholic father didn't teach them, or probably didn't even know themselves. When are we going to return to the social construct of decadence and decorum, of civility? When is that going to become our goal? Above profit, above egomania, these are the things that I contribute. It's something that I want to continue to make my contribution to criminal justice reform. I'm going to continue to fight every time I get a chance to reach somebody. But by being put out this program, it cripples me from being able to create a more potent connection between rehabilitation and the human beings that we're trying to return back into society as human beings. At this point, as I speak, I've been rehabilitated. I've been crippled. Not by any fault of my own, but because of the attitude of mass corporal punishment and mass incarceration. Because of this attitude that operates off of fear and ignorance, I don't even think that the caseworkers and the case managers or the people running the program are aware of what it is that I and the other facilitators and individuals who are appointed to help mentor and facilitate the education and rehabilitation and instruction and guidance for other prisoners, because it's a peer-to-peer program. I don't think they even know what it is we were doing to help each other. I don't think they cared enough to really sit in and discuss what it is we're doing on an individual basis and what is the structure that we have put together. Because one thing that I invest a lot of time in is trying to reach out to Brother Hess and trying to work with Brother Tory on creating a handover process where the rehabilitation continues on the street, where it's not just something where you're doing rehabilitation in prison, but there's a handover and a transition process.
And maybe monitored and recorded.
Where counselors guide you to the street so that you can maneuver through the hurdles that you face on the street and have somebody, a group of people that you can talk to on the street, as well as the support system that you have in prison that is tailored towards you. A lot of people, family members, when they get out of prison, have no idea what to do when it comes to this person getting out of prison. And a lot of people want to admit it, but I'm saying they're leery and they're concerned about how do they respond to their loved ones coming out of prison. And it's, you already feel like an eyeball, and then people treating you like an eyeball, and it helps to have somebody to guide you through those things and help you to understand what to expect. Now, my contribution to that process is over. As far as inside this program, I'm going to continue to communicate with Brother Hess. I'm going to continue to communicate with Tory. I want to continue to work with them to set up a handover process in the state of Missouri where activist organizations and community, people who are involved in their community, want to help prisoners transition into society and never offend again. I want my family to be safe. I believe there's a need for police officers. The elderly and the young need police officers. Hands down, nobody can disagree with that. People with mental conditions, where they need aid and assistance and assisted living and nursing aids and stuff, those people need police officers. I need and want for my family to be safe. Most importantly, I want to live. I just fight all the way off the death row just to be in misery. I want to live, not just survive. There's a difference between living and survive. To live, all you got to do is just eat, sleep, and let your bodily functions take place naturally until you die. That's survival. I want to live. Living is entertaining your intellect. Living is engaging people on a heartfelt spiritual level. Living is being able to stop and appreciate the beauty of a flower and the cycles of life and see the sky in a new light every day because of your new experiences that you enjoy. That's living. Living is having sympathy and remorse and concern and compassion for the animals. Living is feeling your emotions and allowing your heart to experience life fully and emotionally and truly. To add to the richness of your memories, to add to the richness of your life, that's living. I want to live, but there are people in this criminal justice system that are trying to destroy anybody's sense of humanity because it's not a mystery. It's not something that's just like, oh, well, why would they do that? There's a reason. There are people in the criminal justice system who themselves have suffered abuse. There are people in the criminal justice system who themselves are caught up in a generational cycle of abuse, who have been victims of crime, who have not forgiven the person that assailed them or wronged them. And because they have not forgiven anybody and they harbor those resentments, anybody that's been through drug treatment or Alcoholic Anonymous or has been through any type of rehabilitation program, a serious intense rehabilitation program, know that resentments don't do anything but destroy. Hold on to resentments is like drinking poison, hoping that the other person dies. That's what anger and hatred is. It's poison. I thank God that I've come to learn that. I thank God that I've been able to embrace forgiveness in my heart. I thank God that I've been able to be forgiven. I thank God for the family that loves me. I thank God for the time that I've been able to spend and talk with my mother. And bringing people to realize these things in prison who are trying to turn their lives around is one of the most important parts of rehabilitation and reintroducing the person to their humanity and reintroducing them to themselves, to their heart, to their soul, to the roots of their family. Now, you heard an interview with a guy named Nicholas Thomas. Nicholas Thomas, for his part dealing with this program, he's done a lot for this program. And Jerry Husky's done a lot for this program. And Larry Kane's done a lot for this program. Rob Dole, he was a graphic arts instructor. Nicholas Thomas, he put together an app where it'll track an individual's rehabilitation. It'll track what classes are taught, what classes.
Facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Well, the most effective, it'll track who is the most responsive to what type of treatment, a criminality, drug abuse, or substance abuse, for alcohol abuse, for child abuse. What is the model that will fit various individual character types the best? And the computer program, it's an app that was put together for reentry 2030 that we didn't have a chance to introduce to the administration, but that work is lost also. It's still on the computer, but it's not complete. And Nicholas Douglas isn't going to be able to complete that work. He's a fully stocked computer program. And I've seen what he was putting together, and it was an amazing project that will be able to be exported and passed around throughout the country. But because of the dehabilitation of mass punishment, corporal punishment, based on other people's actions, we're not going to be able to continue to do this beautiful good work that we've been talking about.
I'd like to say something, Reginald, if I can. What it boils down to is the godly and the ungodly. Because anybody that can sit back and watch people incarcerated, especially recently on the news where that man spent 40 years in prison, and then after 40 years in prison, they executed him with the gas, a nitrogen that they hadn't used before, experimenting. And now they mentioned on the news the other day that they're going to start using that for all executions. Now, you were on death row, and they converted it to life in prison instead. The feeling that people go through, I'm sure, and I'd like to have you talk a little bit about that, but one of the things, it boils down to the godly against the ungodly. Because, again, as I say all the time, repeatedly, anyone that can sit back and see the injustices going on behind those prison walls, anyone that can see everything that's going on with the incarcerated, and people are not ignorant as they used to be. People are hearing about it now when there's a death. When there's suicides in the prisons, a lot of people don't even know we have a high rate of suicides in the prisons because people cannot cope. We have a society that does not care that somebody may be wrongfully convicted and yet has served all the years in prison that you and others have served. People forget sometimes there are two sides to every story. People forget that they have talked about it repeatedly about people in prison who, under the age of 25 years of age, were not maturely responsible. There's so many things that are going on. And we live in a society now where people are not as ignorant as they used to be. So if they're not willing to do anything, if they're not willing to write to prisoners, if they're not willing to join with other advocates, if they're not willing to look into these matters and talk about it, if they're not willing to write to their legislative members and ask their legislative members to go in and meet with the prisoners, then they just don't care. And I don't know how anybody in this world can sit back and watch people abused and deprived and violated and do nothing just because they're in prison. Every prisoner has a different story, a situation. We have mental illnesses in this country of PTSD, people that are suffering from all kinds of post-conviction, those that come out worse than they went in. We have so many situations, and that's why it comes down to the godly, the godly against the ungodly. This prison is wasting his money calling to try to do something positive at one time, and because someone on their block messed up, someone on their block messed up, they ended up suffering as a result. Whoops.
Recorded. To accept this recall, press. Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
Okay, Reginald, I'm going to turn this back over to you, but I just want the audience to know, and you know, you have been a role model throughout the years and that you've been in, and many people have been rooting for you to be able to finally be released. And to spend all the years in prison that you spent in on a wrongful conviction doesn't make sense. But one of the things is, again, we got to go back to the godly versus the ungodly, because, again, anyone in this country that can see all this injustice going on and do nothing about it, something has to be wrong with them. Something definitely has. We have victims who became offenders in the prisons as well. So I will turn this back over to you, and you finish saying what you were saying. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leona. I definitely want to elaborate up on some of the things that you just touched on, because it is godly versus ungodly. And if you have to turn someone into something before you can do the things that they do to people in here, before you can take a person's life prematurely before God ordained it to be five natural causes, because God ordained that everybody's heart has a certain number of beats. So when we cut that short, we interfere with what God is doing. And we say that we're better than God, we know better than God. None of us are perfect. And I'm not saying that to say, oh, I'm only human, people should give me a break because I'm human. No, I'm saying that because there are people who point fingers and do all types of dirt. And that don't justify my wrong. But what I'm saying is everybody deserves a second chance. That don't justify my wrongdoing. But the thing is they should be held accountable and not be allowed to point fingers at other people. And own up to what it be made to
this
own up to what
you say and may be monitored and recorded.
Because in the absence of accountability, we have corruption. And corruption is perpetual. And we won't get out of this vicious cycle by turning the blind eye and pretending like it doesn't exist and that it's not happening. We're hurting. Anytime that you allow somebody else to suffer and you know that they're suffering, you lose a bit of your humanity. I don't want that for anybody. I know pain. I know what it's like to get close to somebody and then they get executed. I know what it's like to have somebody taken out of the cell knowing that they're going to be executed in the next 30 days after I've known them for the past 12 years. I knew Michael Owsley. I was in the cell with him. He was guilty of his case. He said that he was prepared. He had his arms made and everything. He was ready to go. And he was sorry and apologetic for his crimes. That is something that I hope nobody else has to suffer. That's something that I hope no other victim has to suffer and that victims can heal from. I especially hope that we can heal from it so that we won't perpetuate it and pass on our pain and our wrong to the next generation. That's what we'll do if we keep ignoring that it's happening. We have to stop to hold people accountable. One of the things moving forward that I want to do, that I would like to do, that I am pushing for in the courts, is that guards in prison and staff members in prison wear body cameras. Take note. Staff members in prison should have to wear body cameras. Police officers on the street have to wear body cameras. If you want to keep pretending like none of this stuff is happening, these prison people being beaten to death, There's a man that was, Ortel Moore, that was just waterboarded with mace to death. They beat him half to death. And they put a spit mask over his face, wrapped him up in a blanket and put a chain around him, and then sprayed mace in his mouth, and then sprayed mace on the mask and put a helmet on top of his head and let him suffocate to death from mace. That's a horrible death. That's torture. What type of brutality are we allowing to run in prisons?
And the mentally ill. The mentally ill. Any audience, you can go on the internet and type in Daryl Rainey, a mentally ill individual several years ago who they put in the shower, turned the shower up to 180 degrees, locked him in the shower, and let that boiling water scald him to death, every piece of meat and muscle separated from his bones. It doesn't take much, audience, to go on the internet and type in drugs being smuggled in by guards. It doesn't take much to put in WellPath lawsuits against contracted medical providers in the prisons. You find all your information, since the media is not going in to get it, you find all your information by typing these things in the internet. Learn about those that you trust because they wear uniforms or have titles. Learn about them. And if you choose to continue to support them, then you're just as criminal-like as they are. I'm sorry to say it. But too many people are allowing this incident, these things to go on and on and on while people are suffering. These are human beings. Remember, the Christ was on the cross and he forgave one of the prisoners and he told that prisoner he would be with him in the paradise as well. If Jesus was on a stake or on a cross, he was beaten so badly, he was tormented and tortured. People that want to believe in the Christ Jesus believe that he suffered at the hands of guards. He suffered at the hands of the government. And we're living in a government today that has no compassion. If anything, the worst of worst. And all of you have heard me interviewing people from other countries that have talked about what they have seen in the United States themselves. They talk about the injustices. They talk about the corruption. They talk about the abuses, the violations. They talk about the racism. They talk about all these things that many people in this country don't even know about because they don't get involved. They don't even try to find out. But God forbid, let it happen to one of your own.
Correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Let it happen to one of your own, as with Joe Biden's family and Donald Trump's situation. They get away with it. Feel sorry for them, or are you supportive of them? Are you part of the ungodly or the godly?
The consideration is, if you abuse somebody and allow somebody to be abused for 8, 10, 12, 20 years, and then they only had a 20-year sentence. Now they're going to be released back into society full of nothing but anger and dehumanization and loss of a sense of purpose with limited education. Basically induced with PTSD and induced with mental illness. Not that they was mentally ill when they showed, because I've seen that happen. I've seen the person sit in the hall for so long, for over a year, and over time, guards harassing them, refusing to feed them, banging on their door, and just constantly passing their time abusing these individuals, and that's before they had cameras in prison. A young man named Walter Hanks, I watched him lose his mind. I watched him lose his mind in the hole. I was a porter who used to clean up in the hole. This is back in like 1996. He lost his hands over time. He lost his mind. And then he stopped taking showers. He stopped taking care of his health. He stopped caring and sitting in that cell in that sedentary lifestyle, that sedentary conditions caused his health to start failing. He ended up dying of a liver failure at the age of 27.
Mm-hmm.
And that deterioration, that rehabilitation, was induced. Now imagine somebody like that being released from prison, where by the mercy of God, their physical health is there, but their mental health is gone because of abuse. Abuse that should have never happened in the first place.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
An audience, we have mental health facilities all over the country. Right here in Massachusetts, they have the Department of Mental Health, who doesn't seem to want to get involved. We have the American Psychological Association that doesn't want to seem to want to get involved. Where do these people go to? Where do they turn to? I'll say, I'm not a Republican, and I'm a very poor Democrat nowadays. But Nikki Haley, a Republican candidate, was the first and only one that I've heard of bring up mental health issues in this country. She mentioned it one time. This country has a problem with mental health issues. I haven't heard any other politician. I contacted National Action Network in hopes of Al Sharpton using his platform to bring people on the show to talk about the mental illnesses in this country, including a former warden, 27-year warden from Amsterdam, Franz Dowd. But yet Al Sharpton is an opportunist. It wasn't up his alley. We're going to bring Reginald Clemens back on again to finish talking about what he was talking about. But again, we have a mental health issue. We have a mental health issue that needs to be addressed in this country. And addition.
Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I was saying, though, is the platform. I'm not a fan of Nikki Haley or any of those politicians right now, because politicians don't do anything for you until they need your vote. But Nikki Haley was the only one I've heard of so far that talked about the issues, mental health issues in this country. We need to get something going. We need to get a platform. We need to get people to start talking about it around the country, to talk about the mental health issues in this country. Those people in prison who were traumatized as children or adolescents, they suffer from PTSD, they suffer from bipolar, they suffer from schizophrenia, that needs psychological treatment. And they're not getting it in the prison. And as Reginald said, for those who are fortunate enough to someday be released, they're going to be bringing all of their anger and frustration, all of their pain and suffering that never got addressed in prison to the communities.
And I'm sad. I pray to God that less and less the case, because there's a lot of people who are on their way out of prison who are panicking, and they start getting high on this K2 stuff that the prison, they ain't even been able to stop, because it's a drug that they spray on paper, right? And then it's brought into the prison, and it's untraceable. You can't test for it on the drug screen. And you don't show up on a urine test, and it's on a piece of paper. So it could be any kind of paper. And this is what it is that a lot of dudes, it's smoking like, it's worse than a crack epidemic. But I'm like this. This is my perspective. And it was working when it came to this program, where there were a lot of people that we were starting to reach. We weren't reaching everybody. We were reaching more people than not. And I approach it with the attitude of, if I can rehabilitate you, then we can put a pile of drugs on the table. And it just sit there. If I can help you rehabilitate yourself and turn away from your drug addiction, we can leave a pile of drugs on that table. If I can get you to start thinking about your family and your life and the better life that you want to live, can help you get in touch with your higher power and your understanding of your God and your mind and your spirit and your, what is it in your life that means more to you that you're willing to sacrifice for? It takes person a lot of hard work. And it makes it even harder when you have a system that's fighting. You have people in the system that's fighting to keep people where they're at because they want to abuse people to feel better than people, to feel better than so they can feel better about themselves. They want to feel better than prisoners and look at us as garbage and scum to be thrown out with the trash. Well, where are they going to throw us to? They're going to throw us back into society. I've been rehabilitated, but all my prison records are stripped of all my certificates. I got 34 certificates that they refuse to put in my file. And I asked them, how are you going to know who's rehabilitated and who's not? They just file a complaint. If you're not putting my records in my file about the classes that I've taken, that's one of the reasons that Nicholas Thomas was putting together what he was putting together. And so that we'd be able to track who's been rehabilitated and who hasn't, who's doing better and who needs more attention. We got to get on top of these things, people. We have to do it individually and collectively. In Missouri, Missouri prison reform is going to get more heavily involved in reducing the recidivism rate and dealing with rehabilitation. I'm working with Missouri prison reform as best as I possibly can in my small capacity. And Missouri prison reform is going to be picking up where reentry 2030 has turned away from the people and turned away from the prisoners, basically. They've reduced the team of 20 people that we had has been reduced down to two. Just facilitators, and they took it from 50 clients that we were working with down to 15 clients. They dismantled. They basically dismantled the program because of some bad apples. But a few bad apples should not be allowed to spoil the bunch. This is prison. We're fighting against a monolith. We're fighting against something that's growing like a blob. We have to try and hold our ground of humanity. And we can't do that pretending like everything is okay, because it's not. And like I said, the case that I'm involved with is we were praying. And the guards came and maced us because we was praying. They put us in a hole and strip us for 16 hours, covered in mace with no medical treatment and no showers. Because we were praying. I'm doing the most rehabilitative thing a person could possibly do in prison. And I get attacked by the administration. I get attacked by the security staff. And the officer that attacked me, name was Carl Hart. He's since been convicted of assaulting another prisoner covered in mace while he was in the shower. And he's also been convicted of pedophilia and child pornography. Well, child pornography and child molestation. He's been convicted of those things. And this is who it is that is not filtered out properly within these prison administrations. The women working in these prisons are not safe. There's women that have said that they feel safer around the prisoners than they do their male coworkers. These ain't my words. It's out there on the internet. All you got to do is turn a blind eye and you will never see it. But the case that I'm involved with right now is called Reginald Clemens versus Ann Preside. Reginald Clemens versus Ann Preside. The number for the case is 4:22CB158. It's 4:22CB158. It's in the Missouri Eastern District. And the district court, the Missouri Eastern District Court, Eastern Division, and the Missouri Judicial System is a 1983 civil action. And one of the things that we're asking for, we're pushing for, is for the staff to have more body cameras. I sound like it's a crisis mode because it is. I'm sitting up here doing everything that I'm supposed to do when it comes to rehabilitating myself and helping other people be rehabilitated. And yet I'm still being deprived and attacked. That's why I say it's rehabilitation versus dehabilitation. Because I'm rehabilitated right now. I have been locked up for 32 years, but they say 24 of those years don't count. Towards the time that I'm doing, they strip my file, my certificates, in order to make it look like I haven't been doing anything to help people.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Other people get rehabilitated. Not because I expect anything out of it, but because, like I said before, but what I do expect out of it is I want my family on the street to be safe. The other thing that I expect out of it is I don't want to see nobody go through what it is that I've been going through. I want to see people go home and stay home with their family, enjoy family functions and barbecues where they belong. Now they end up in prison for the rest of their life because of a crazy situation where they was high or drunk with a bunch of other high and drunk people who wasn't thinking straight or doing what it is they're supposed to be doing and where they were supposed to be. At home with their family, at school, at work, at church, or take care of some children somewhere and tutoring somebody or something positive that means something. We need to reclaim our humanity, not get rehabilitated and pushed away and driven away from our humanity by those who are wounded and lost. And I ask for these body cameras because, as I sit here and I explain it, I don't think you believe me. When I talk about how bad things are, I think you think I'm just crying wolf or something. I want some body cameras up in here so that you can see how bad it is. You know, I had a staff member sit there and tell me and a group of other prisoners that he owned everybody that is a part of the organizations in this prison. He said that out of his mouth. He'd never repeat that in front of you. But that body camera was on his chest. And me. He said that, though. He said, I own everybody that is a part of the organizations within this prison. You don't own me. I'm not your slave. I'm not your property. You're paid by the taxpayers, and you're taxing me as a prisoner. Prisons have to be taxed in the state of Missouri. We pay state taxes. So I'm paying his paycheck. He don't own me. He worked for me. Unfortunately, he's not doing his job the way I need him to, but that's a whole other matter. But first, before we bring about accountability, we need these body cameras. Then we need brave souls to hold them accountable for what it is that the body cameras capture.
You know what the sad thing is? Some states have already implemented body cameras. That's the problem with the United States. Every state is different, but if they would get in sync and everyone do the same thing across the board, maybe we'd see more stability in this country. But some states have already implemented the body cameras, and other states have not.
Within the prison system?
Yes. They started it in Massachusetts and some other states. And that's the problem. The governors in every state are different. That's the sad thing about it. Because we have governors in Florida and in Texas who make problems worse than they need to be. We have Governor Abbott from the state of Texas who has executed so many people, and that man acts like he doesn't know anything about anything except to execute. And I'm sorry to say, but again, it depends on the heart. It depends on the person themselves, the godly versus the ungodly. But any governors in any state that can't do the same thing other states are doing to try to improve the criminal justice system, they're not looking for success. They're looking for vengeance and retaliation. Hatred is in their heart. Some states have already implemented the body cameras. As a matter of fact, the people that were made to wear them or asked to wear them got a bonus of $2,400 a piece or $2,500 a piece for doing so.
Oh, and then here's the other thing, too. I filed a complaint about that staff member, Daniel Gratty, saying that he owned everybody that members of these organizations, right? That grievance was just filed back in August 16th. Did you know the caseworker refused to process?
There's a lot of corruption going on in the prisons. Unfortunately, they're getting away with it because no one seems to care. And now the United Nations is getting involved. They're starting to let the United States know how wrong they are. Even the Department of Justice in the United States is looking at ways to start making things better because he realizes, or they realize now, mass incarceration has gotten way out of control. And now the prisons are already so stacked with people that should be in hospitals instead of prisons. Now we're starting to see a rise in crime on the outside. So they have to do something about the people who have already been in for 20 and 30 years and 40 years. They have to do something. When people that are not professionals in that area know that this is a serious problem and has to be addressed, then there's something very wrong with these so-called professionals who run the prisons, the penal system, and the governors that run the country, the state. We have a problem in this country, and unless we the people, start getting more involved, nothing's going to be done to be positive. Yes. This is the problem in this country. We got a serious problem. 2.3 million people incarcerated, men, women, and children, children all the way back down to 14 years of age, and people that are all the way up to 84 and 94 years old in wheelchairs, dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, terminally ill, people that are wrongfully convicted.
There's a group of us. I want to reassure people, right? That there are a group of us in prison who have grown up in prison. I was locked out like 19. Who haven't lost our sense of humanity. We're in here fighting to maintain our humanity. We're in here fighting to help others become better men. We're in here fighting to help others become better women, to help other people become human beings and less criminals, right? We ain't lost our minds. But in possible circumstances, some of us are still blessed to maintain our sanity and help others maintain their sanity and give them words of encouragement and hope. In a hopeless situation where it don't seem like people care.
We're living in those days.
If you don't want to know, be turning the blind eye. But that don't mean people ain't dying to being tortured and mutilated in prison.
People don't believe that there is a true living God. They really don't believe it, because if they believed it, they would know that someday they will have to go before their maker as well. And they're going to be held accountable for allowing these things to go on. This is sad. I had an incarcerated individual who's been advocating for another incarcerated individual soon to be released. The person is elderly. And he said that the person that he's trying to help is afraid to come out, because he doesn't know what he's going to do. He's been incarcerated for so many years. He doesn't know. Coming out is like coming out to a new world. Everything has changed. We have changes that happen inside of a week. Can you imagine, audience?
From a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Audience, can you imagine what it's like for these men to be in there and women that have been incarcerated for 20 and 30 years? How in the world can anyone sit back and not try to at least make calls, try to get people together? Audience, people listening, you can get your friends, you can get other advocates out there to say, at least let's help them to get the mental health that they need. Look at WellPath is a contracted provider with the Department of Corrections in 36 or 37 states, and you go on the internet and you type in WellPath, you're going to find even their own founder is incarcerated for fraudulent activities, bribes. And I want to bring up one quick thing too, Reginald. We had the coronavirus, but I think it was for almost 3 years. There were no visits within the prison. There were no visits. So how did the drugs get into the prisons when there's no family members or friends visiting the prisons in almost 3 years, but yet the prisoners are still accessing the drugs? It has to come in from somewhere. So this audience, again, go on the internet and type in guards caught smuggling drugs into the prisons. People are so naive.
I don't think it's naive so much as hopelessness, in a sense of helplessness. But that's why I said I want to reassure you that we in here, we're fighting. And we're struggling and we're striving. And we need you all to reach a hand in, to grasp our hand, to help pull us out of this morass.
Exactly. The only ones that are helpless.
And go to your Bible, your Quran, go to your Torah, go to the NGO, the Missal, whatever religious book you read from the verdicts of the Tao Te Ching, and meditate and pray and send forth all the power, positive energy you possibly can to plead with the universe for us to get the help to become human again and to reclaim our humanity together in a loving way to be returned back to our families.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
And look up on social media, look up prisoner advocacy, look up prisoner advocates, look up all these groups that are out there that you can join. Join these groups. Find out how you can help. These people are human beings. And I know there's so many people out there that are saying, what about the victims? There's victims in the prisons. The victims on the outside, we have to also consider them. But members of society, we don't have to take sides. We can remain neutral and help both sides. That's why when they speak of restorative justice, this is a good thing because it brings the incarcerated and the victims together to talk about why, or the victims' families, to talk about why these things happened in the first place. You're going to find out that we have a mental health issue and addiction issue in this country that needs to be addressed, because so many people who have been victimized before going to prison took it out maybe on the wrong people in the communities. People that are just so frustrated, so upset and angry because of what happened to them. And we have people in the prisons either wrongfully convicted, first-time offenders who are going through so much when they committed their offense. They haven't gotten that support. If anything, they've gotten more abused and deprived behind those prison walls that many of you have not seen or don't even know about. There are many incarcerated people that have no family, no friends. Nobody knows what's going on behind those walls with them. Think about it. We always think about those who are pro-life. They don't believe in abortions. And even these politicians that want to do away with abortions. If people want these people to have these babies, then they need to be there for these people and their babies when their babies grow up, when these people are struggling to raise their child. We can't have it both ways. Pro-life at one end and pro-death at the other. Or pro-life without parole, or pro-life sentencing for the others. Why bring a child into this world with the thought that maybe someday that they'll fall, they'll stumble, and they'll be taken from you and put in a prison where they're executed, or they're made to serve a life without, to never be seen again on the outside, to never enjoy the godly gifts that we were blessed to have, to never have children, never get married. Again, I'll say this for the last time before we close. It's the godly against the ungodly. People are able to help both sides without taking sides. Try to comfort those who have been victimized or their families. And try to understand why the person that did it did that. We have psychologists, and many of you know that prisoner that latched out over the bench to try to attack that judge. He not only got beaten up pretty badly, but he got 4 years added on to his sentence. A previous judge had ordered him to go for an evaluation. And the psychologist that evaluated him found him competent to go before the judge. Now, what do you think of that psychologist that was incompetent enough to find this individual competent to go before a judge, only to have that individual who must have had and may have had and did have mental problems? And look where he is now, 4 years in prison, badly beaten, and we don't know what's going to happen from there because it was a judge he went after. So we have mental health providers that either don't want to get involved or they're just as incompetent as can be. That psychologist that found him competent to go before the judge, that psychologist should be evaluated himself. Definitely evaluated. He seemed to have a problem finding a psychologically ill, a mentally ill person competent to go before a judge. Think about it. So audience, we're going to end this episode now. I hope you'll take heed to what Reginald Clemens was trying to say. Try to get involved. There are so many social medias out there. There's so many people involved in the criminal justice system. Those who are advocating for the incarcerated men and women and youth. Those who are incarcerated themselves or have loved ones incarcerated. Those who just have a heart and cannot see any more of this injustice going on behind the prison walls. Again, we have a God that does not like injustice. A God that himself forgave Moses, forgave King David, and forgave Saul, later the Apostle Paul, who executed many Christians. And I'll leave you with this, Matthew 25:35-46. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick and in prison, and came unto thee? And the king said, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, because they did not do for those who were sick and in prison, those who were hungry. So audience, I hope that you will get something out of this and try to do something positive to help those behind the prison walls going through so much injustice. And we are going to be closing, but I'm going to take this call before we close. 605, do you want to state your name, please?
Yeah, this is Chinupa from the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you? I don't know. I don't know if you've been listening in, but if you have anything to say, we have 15 minutes left. Please give us some feedback or give us some idea of why you're calling in as well.
Okay. I'm giving you guys a call because some of these brothers and sisters in Colorado and a few other states neighboring Kansas and Oklahoma, Tennessee, Alabama, and I think North Carolina, they reached out to the Strong Heart Warrior Society and asked we can speak on this behalf of the late brother that was executed in Alabama. And so, you know, and I don't know if this is a kind of a topic to bring on your show, but I'll do it anyway.
Well, you know what? I really would like to have you. I'd like to have you talk about it. And the reason I say this is because it is true. It is true. And these are the things that we would touch base on just a little bit tonight. But this is something that I'd like to have you talk about as well.
All right. I appreciate that. So all of these groups that are in the black community and, you know, the Caucasian community are reaching out to the Lakota people here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And we're known as our Strongheart Dog Soldiers. And we do things like this to help our people that are less fortunate in incarceration and all the avenues from every level. But I find this very ironic that white America still get off and they get their kicks and happiness when they kill somebody. So here's a brother, no matter what the stereotypical behavior was to end him inside the prison walls. America's been doing this since they gave my country, Turtle Island, the name America, okay? You would think, you would really think that they would put these injustices away. But no, they like killing. They don't care what the name of a death is, how it's described. This is white America's justice system, penal complexes, all of it. It's all into one. So here's a brother in Alabama that people are reaching to South Dakota to talk about this, and I am going to continue exposing more of this behavior. Nitrogen. And to have a gruesome bunch of white folks watch this death pursue the body, okay? White man, what is wrong with you? We think that in the year 2024, January 28th, you would emancipate yourself from these type of illegal death penalties. Death is one thing. Spending a life sentence is another. But putting somebody to death and you watch the gruesome agony with your own eyes, white man, what is wrong with you? When
you
are you going to learn to repent? Repent
you
your
know,
own self.
You know what?
Ask
I found
yourself
so,
for forgiveness.
What I found so sickening is the fact that this man had already served 40 years in prison. 40 years for this crime happened back in the early 80s, and this man had already served 40 years in prison, only to be finally executed with an experimental nitrogen gas. But you know, we have to look at again. We have to look at the governors of these places that are doing this. What kind of cold, stone heart do they have? And this is what really makes me sick, is that they talk about China, yet China doesn't have mass incarceration like the United States. The United States has mass incarceration over China. The United States has a high rate of human rights violations. They have the highest rate of recidivism. In all of these things that the so-called America is supposed to be so proud of and talking. We have people from other countries, from Netherlands, from Amsterdam, from all these countries, France, Germany. We have these people talking about the United States. And the United States is a proud country, a government that thinks that they're doing so much good. For who? For their higher up peers, their elite peers, their wealthy peers who are gaining all this money from incarcerated people. It really makes me sick. The Babylonian country, the United States of America, could do what they do to these people in prison and consider themselves the role model for other countries. And we have a society that just completely ignores it as long as it doesn't happen to them or as long as they don't go over their peers' head. Whether their peers are right or wrong, they want to be fitting in. They want to fit in. It goes to show you how insecure the people of this country are when they know their peers are wrong, and yet they'll stand by them because they want to fit in. That I was just talking about that young man, too, that went over the bench to go after that judge. It was an incompetent psychologist that found him competent to go before the judge, only to find out that he was not ready to go before a judge. And what happened? They beat him so bad, and the judge added 4 more years. We don't even know if that person is being beaten right now in those prisons because he had attacked the judge. We live in an inhumane country. I hate to say it, but I'm disgusted with the country I was born in. Babylonian country. You know, if we all got together, every race, including whites that aren't racist, we probably could make a difference. But it goes to show how many are have actually changed, how many are actually on our side or just pretending to be.
Well, if I may say something in closing, and then I'll get off your show and let you continue on. We have to take the time to look at what troubles the so-called penal complexes and all this stuff that goes on in white America. And it is white America. There's no such thing about the color of man in white America. It's white America. So the fact of the matter of this brother that got executed, whether he's white, black, Indian, Chinese, it's human life, people, that we need to address. Look, white America has hunted animals beyond extinction. Well, that's just what they think, because that's the devil himself, the white race. If that offends them, so be it. You call my number 605-517-2621, and I'll debate this understanding with you. What gives human beings, no matter what color and ethnicity they're from, the right to dehumanize human life? We understand you have the largest incarceration rate in the history of modern man and civilized man, including women. But many years ago, they showed a movie. They, meaning the white race, showed this movie where they executed a 13-year-old black young man. Many years ago, they showed this. And the white people were sitting there. And if you look at that movie called The Green Mile, another one, it's always somebody of color that they execute to get their rocks off. That's white man. And I don't care if it offends you people. One day, it's going to happen to you. And believe me, I don't think I'm going to find the audacity to try to forgive you for all the shit that you did to the human race and animals. And so if there is a great mystery, which we do believe in, he needs to punish all the white race, all of them. I don't care if it's their little child. I've seen a little 5-year-old kid flip an old man off, a grandpa. Man, a native grandpa, this 5-year-old kid. So, sister, continue your work and continue on with exposing more. And I thank you, brother. Hey, Dr. Edmund, if you're listening out there from Chicago, hey, I got on a radio show to discuss what you talked to me earlier about. You talked to me about, you know, exposing what they did in Alabama. So I did it, Dr. Edmund. I got on a radio show, and tomorrow night I'll expose more of it on the Indigenous Voices of People. Thank you, guys, and thank you, sister, for giving me the time.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Can you let the audience know what your radio show is, the other one?
Yes. Tomorrow night, the radio show is called the Indigenous Voices of People. Just call me tonight when you guys get off the show, 605-517-2621. And on Saturday night, we've got another one called the Lakota Oyate Hours. So do call me. And I'll instruct you how to get on these radio shows and express your feeling. And thank you, sister. What a great mystery. It all starts at 7 o'clock to 9 in the evenings.
And that's Central time or Eastern or
Mountain time.
Okay. But I really appreciate your coming on and talking about these things, because I'll tell you right now, it's getting to the point now where these things have to come out. You know, it has to come out. A lot of this stuff has to come out because people are just not paying attention. We're in the process of having a civil war and also a world war. And I just read where nuclear weapons were sent by the United States to the UK. Nuclear weapons now. So what are we talking about? And all of this stuff going on right now with one of those countries just shot down some American soldiers. We had no business being over there in the first place, not in any of the, because before they couldn't even touch the United States, and to this day, they can't really do much to us. So why are we going over there and getting involved in all of that? I don't know, but what's happening right now is we're on the verge of a World War III and also a civil war. So I can see you're coming out and talking about these issues is something that's needed. And if more people talked about it, maybe things would be resolved. But people only listen. They don't talk. They don't give feedback. They don't even criticize. They don't do anything. Too many people are dying. That when they start talking about putting 8-year-old kids that bring a gun to school, putting them in prison, you know, this is a sick society, but this is more so a sick government that we're involved in. If they can look at children like that, and they can look at all these executions and all this life sentencing, instead of looking at opening mental health facilities, opening addictions, long-term residential treatment facilities for addicted, if they can't look at some of these things about restorative justice or criminal justice reform, I don't know what it's about, but thank you for coming on, Chinupa. We're going to end this episode now. The guest that was on was Reginald Clements, and he has dropped, so we won't have him talking. So we're going to end the episode now, everyone, and tune in Wednesday, tomorrow at 5:30 Eastern Daylight Time. We'll have Andy Williams Jr. on with us again, presidential campaign for We the People. And Wednesday we will have with us 1 o'clock, p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Mariam Jacobs, psychosocial therapist from the Netherlands. And again, everyone, try to get involved in some of these things, because when the shit hits the fan, we can't change our mind. Everybody will forget about this hatred that they have for others. They'll forget about the racism. They'll forget about all these things, because we all are going to be in that circle of worldly destruction, and no one will be able to turn around. So think about it now. We want to prevent these things from happening. And if you can't, as people in this country, society, citizens of the United States of America, if you can't do anything now but talk, complain, or judge, it's going to be a complete turnaround when that day happens. As they say in the Bible scriptures, that great day of Armageddon. Good night, everyone. I hope you all have a peaceful evening and look forward to having you on tomorrow.